This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hey, listeners. My name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. Hi, Rich. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing so well because it's just a couple days until Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, to be honest, I just think is an amazing holiday. Sit down and eat a bunch of turkey. What can get better than that?
So it's
amazing. So, and you know, on that, on the turkey Thanksgiving thing, we've, for the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about how we've been asking people to go over to iTunes and leave a review. And then we're going to pick out just one church that we're going to send them a pizza party in the first week of December. And so this really is the day to do it. You probably should pause this podcast and go over there. I think you can actually do it while you're listening to the podcast, but go over to iTunes and leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. Again, it doesn't need to be a five-star review. It can be a one-star. You say, this guy keeps talking to me about pizza parties. That bugs me.
It
makes me so hungry. We'd love to hear from you. So please go over there. And it's been super encouraging to read from so many people. So thanks for doing that, friends. Thanks for taking time out to, it really does help other people find the show. It also is good for us to get a bit of feedback. But it really helps people who don't know the show to go over and learn more. So thanks for doing that.
Awesome. All right. What are we talking about today?
Well, today's article is called Five Reasons Dotted Lines and Solid Lines Are Overrated in Multi-Site Churches. This is about as inside baseball as we ever get here at Unseminary. This is, we're diving deep into how multi-site churches talk to each other, relate to each other. So yeah, I'm excited about this conversation.
Cool. Because this seems really over my head.
Okay. So let me try to explain it for folks that are listening in. So when you think about a traditional organizational structure, you know, the simplest way to understand them is as a giant pyramid. So you basically have a series of teams that are reporting up through a series of managers, up to directors, and then ultimately, you know, to one person at the top, or maybe a board or somebody like that at the top or bottom of the organization, depending on how you, you know, you look at that. Well, multi-site churches have what's called a matrix, which isn't a traditional triangle like that or a traditional kind of reporting structure. What they've done is, by definition, every one of these campuses, if you're helping in one of these campuses, you actually end up having two supervisors, because there's some sort of leadership that is responsible for the local leadership, and then there's some sort of leadership that's responsible for your functional area across all the locations. So take, for instance, guest services. If you're a volunteer or you're a staff member serving within guest services at a campus, you typically will have someone who is responsible for guest services across all locations that you have to have some sort of responsibility to. But then you also have a local campus pastor who obviously is interested in what's happening in guest services in that particular location. This dotted line and solid line conversation is all about authority. And so the solid lines, when you hear like people talk about, you know, who has the solid line relationship, those are the people that have the kind of direct reporting relationship. So, and then the dotted lines are those people that have the secondary or the lesser reporting relationship there. So for sticking with the same example that we used with guest connections, some churches will say the solid line runs across functional areas. So in that case, if I'm within, say, guest connections in a campus, because the solid line goes to the functional area, not the location, then I would be primarily responsible to the person who's kind of on the central team that's responsible for guest connections across all the locations. While other churches, multi-site churches, go the other way. They say, actually, the solid line goes to the campus leadership, the people, the local leadership. And so then the solid line goes there. Then we always refer to the other ones, who is kind of the lesser of the two relationships, as the dotted line. And so what I'm pushing at in today's post is, I think this conversation may be overrated in your church. I think I've heard too many church leaders get caught up in this. In fact, you can spend months, sometimes years, wrestling through who has the primary and who has the secondary. And so today I want to propose that there's actually kind of a different way to think about this. There's a different way and really a different set of questions that you should be wrestling through. Does that make sense, Vanessa? Do you have a sense of what we're talking about here?
Yes, absolutely. You did a really good job explaining that.
Oh, well, thank you for that. That's good. You know, it's funny. This area here, this whole thing of dotted lines and solid lines, We have this once a month podcast that we do the last Wednesday of the month called All About Multisite. It's my favorite hour of the month. I love it. It's so great getting a chance to talk with folks there. And a lot of the conversations there actually boil down to this issue. And so a part of why I'm writing this here is to try to get kind of a synthesis of a lot of ideas really around this idea of dotted lines and solid lines. And hopefully, hopefully ensure that you don't have, you know, pain in your church today, listener who's listening in, because this has generated, I can say, in the churches I've worked in, there's been a fair amount of pain associated with this as people try to figure out, okay, who am I responsible?
It seems like it could become very complicated very quickly.
Yeah, it complicated and then also contentious, mm-hmm. because, you know, at the end of the day, everyone wants to do what's right just for the mission. You know, people don't, there's nobody who is serving on staff or is a key volunteer role in a church who's there because they're like selfish. They're all there because they want to see the mission mm-hmm. take place. The question becomes, what's the best way to fulfill the mission? And so this is at the core of that. It can sometimes be, it can create a bit of crunchiness as we interact with each other.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's start off with reason number one. Multi-sites require regular and healthy communication.
Okay. So regardless of which way the dotted lines and solid lines flow at your church, the reality of it is your church needs regular and healthy communication. In fact, regardless of you know, it doesn't matter if the campus people are supposed to be the people in charge or central are in charge, you need to be working towards over-communication. There's a great risk in a matrix model of under communication. Every decision at every kind of next step, everything that happens, you need to be drawing other people in. And so, which is, can be a significant discipline for folks to get themselves into, because in a traditional kind of pyramid organization, the only people that you really care about is what does your boss think. But, you know, in this matrix organization, you not only have to make a decision that then, you know, works well with your supervisor, but then there'll be a whole bunch of other people that you need to loop in on that. And so you've got to work hard, regardless of who's in charge, you've got to work hard on the communication piece, which it can be difficult in the best of times.
Awesome. Okay. Multi-site central teams are concerned with systems and curriculum.
Yeah. So I don't know any, regardless of who's in charge, whether it's the central teams or the campus teams that are involved, every multi-site church that I've run into, the central team, those people who are responsible for across multiple campuses, they're always asking questions around systems and curriculum. So they're always asking, how are we doing what we're doing? And then what are we teaching? They're wrestling with those questions on a regular basis, regardless of who's in charge, regardless of, you know, who's the person that's kind of driving, you know, the conversation. And so typically we're not, or in fact, I haven't seen a time where we've said, you know, hey, why doesn't every multi-site campus figure out how we're going to greet first-time guests, sticking with the guest thing? You know, no, that's not what happens. What happens is we decide centrally, okay, this is how we're going to care for new here guests. And now we might tweak that at every location. We might slightly roll that out differently. But at the end of the day, we're still saying, hey, on the central side, those people have to help us figure out the system, the how that we're going to make our ministry happen.
Multi-site campus teams are concerned with execution and relationships.
So the other side of that coin is those people who are working locally on a campus, what they're worried about are really two big things. One is execution. So they're asking the question, how are we actually doing this? How are we making this work on the ground? And then they're also asking the relational question. How is this impacting, actual people? You know, how is this working in actual people's lives? And again, I've never seen a functioning multi-site church where the central team is asking questions around, you know, well, how is this working with a particular person locally? If that's happening, now obviously we want to be concerned about relational. Everything we do in the church is relational, so obviously we want to approach what we do from a relational bent. But at the end of the day, the people that own that conversation, that own how does this actually connect with people, how do we actually get people plugged in, that ultimately those questions are owned by the multi-site, the campus teams, those people that are actually on the ground locally. And so again, regardless of who's in charge, those are the people that need to pick up that ball and run with it.
It's probably going to change really soon, maybe.
Yes. So for anybody that has been involved in a multi-site church for any length of time, you will have experienced this model flip-flop. In fact, there does appear to be a real defined pattern that basically as churches grow, this model seems to oscillate back and forth. So early on, the solid lines are drawn centrally. So the people that have the most authority are those people who are managing things across multiple locations. And that does defer to the launching of new campuses. So basically, as you're sorting things out, as you're figuring out how to replicate multiple locations, you want to kind of keep them working centrally. Ultimately, it defers to, when a campus launches, everything is, we're trying to make it look like the other campuses. But then over time, what happens is, you have campus leadership who've been around for a while, and they start to think about, hey, there may be some ways for us to tweak this model to make it work better for us locally. And then we empower our campus teams more, and it oscillates a bit more that way. Well, then over time, as your campuses get beyond, say, 4 or 5 locations, 6 locations, 7 locations, you can see it oscillate back the other way because you start to say, oh my goodness, like there's so much variety here. We need to work to kind of get some more alignment. And so the thing we need to do is have really open hands as leaders and say, hey, we want to hold this lightly, hold kind of the authority that we have lightly, because I know eventually it's probably going to switch and I'm going to be in that secondary seat. I'm going to go from being a solid line to being a dotted line. And so, those days are coming soon. So don't get too high on your horse in the way you're organized now.
And I guess too, like as you grow, there comes change and refinement and growth. And so I think it would seem almost natural that it's kind of flip-flopping back and forth.
Absolutely.
Is that right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a natural, that the needs of the change of the church changes, right? The needs of what we need, how we're structured, the way we're doing what we're doing. If we keep doing it the way we've always done it, we won't grow and change and develop. And so we've got to find new ways to do that. And so, a lot of times that will come down to at least a tweak, if not a wholesale change in the way reporting authority structure goes.
All right. People.
All right. So I was reading or have been reading, I'm not quite done yet, Brené Brown's most recent book, Dare to Lead, which is fantastic. And a part of it, she comes back to this all the time, people, that all of our organizations are, all they are is a collection of people. They're just a collection of individuals. They're a collection of humans that are trying to work together. And so my caution with you, if you spend a lot of time thinking about the organizational chart, thinking about how the dotted lines and solid lines work, you can actually miss the people in the midst of this. You spend so much time thinking about the structure, you miss the humans. So there's an interesting stat that 47% of all multi-site churches don't get beyond 3 locations. So that, and to me, that's a crying shame. There's there's lots of opportunity out there for churches to reach more people. Those churches have decided that they want to multiply, but they get stuck at that point. And I think a part of the reason why that's happening is because, church leaders are, we lose the fact that, we need to be working with the people that are in front of us and saying, hey, how do we leverage the relationships and what God's doing in the people's lives around us to see that ultimately fuel, the mission, the ministry that's with us. And so, we need to keep coming back to, it's not about the org chart. It's not about what's drawn on a piece of paper. It's not about some sort of theoretical, the way things are done. It's actually looking at how things are done in real life. So all of these structures, whether that's a matrix or a pyramid or, whatever org chart, we all know, if we can just be honest, and I've said this to my team over the years, and it sometimes gets some shocked looks because, I seem like I'd be the kind of person that loves an org chart, but org charts are only a theoretical representation of how work actually gets done in an organization. But then we all know that there's the actual way work gets done in an organization. Totally. And leaders need to be thinking more about how work is actually getting done. And so when we're thinking through, okay, what do those relationships look like and how do we foster that and kind of tweak those relationships and make sure that they're moving forward. Plus the other piece of this is, I get really concerned when, as leaders, we spend more time talking about how we're doing ministry rather than actually doing ministry. So we spend a lot of time talking about how we're structured rather than, what are we actually doing to impact the people around us. Every conversation that that we have that's just wrestling with, you know, how does the matrix work? We need to be very careful that we don't overspend our time there, because it ultimately can be a distraction from the bigger mission, which is how are we impacting people around us. So people. Ultimately, our structure needs to be about reaching people, impacting people, seeing them come to know Christ. And so, you know, we don't want to get obsessed with like finding the ultimate organizational chart, because there really isn't one. Mm-hmm. You know, there are lots of different ways to structure leadership to make a difference in our communities.
All right. As we wrap up, let's ask this question. Is your church spending too much time talking about dotted lines and solid lines?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I think it's important for your church to have clear understanding of how multi-site teams interact with each other. I do think, like any church, we need to have clear lines of authority and communication. So don't hear this as like, Rich is saying we shouldn't have org charts. That's not true. However, I do think that we can become overly obsessed with trying to define the lines, to spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, who is in charge and am I in charge? Am I not in charge? And we can lose sight of the greater mission. I think often leaders who come out of a strong pyramid approach to leadership are looking to build their own small fiefdoms, and that simply won't work in a leadership model that multi-site churches demand. Ultimately, a multi-site church demands us all come to this with a sense of humility, come with a sense of open hands, and say, hey, I'm here serving in my current seat today, doing what I'm doing today, but hey, that might change, and I want to communicate widely, and I want to look for a way to be more inclusive in my leadership, to draw more people in, ultimately to push the mission forward, and I'm not, you know, so obsessed with my own little piece of the puzzle, which I think the dotted line and solid line conversation can push towards, where it ultimately comes down to what is my sandbox? You need to not play in my sandbox. Get out of my sand, as opposed to saying, hey, we're all working on this together. I really do think we all have to ask the question, what can I do today to push the mission of the church forward, regardless of the organizational structure that I find myself in?
Is there anything else you want to add, Rich?
No, I would encourage people that this, you know, I know there are church leaders today that are thinking about this issue, that are in the midst of actually quite a bit of pain, because, you know, they either have been misunderstood or they feel like they're on the short end of the stick of communication. They're not being communicated to enough. Or they, you know, they have people complaining to them. They're like, how come, you know, you're not communicating with me enough? And so, you know, my encouragement to you, to leaders there, to say, hey, it's a new day. Like, you need to start fresh and say, hey, what can we do to try to encourage the kind of communication that's required, to look beyond the structure, to say, hey, what do we need to do to make the mission happen? How do we need to push this thing forward? So I would encourage people to, you know, to try to do that, to try to push beyond just talking about structure and ultimately get to mission.
Awesome. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can see the full article and our other podcasts at unseminary.com.